So our first speaker this morning is Dr. Stephen Wallace from UCLA School of Public Health, and he will be presenting From the Ground Up to the Sky, Bringing Aging and Child Advocates Together to Expand Traditional Air Quality Coalitions. Dr. Wallace.
Yeah, falls risk. It's a different kind of environmental hazard. So thank you for being here bright and early on a Tuesday morning. I have to orient myself in time and space. This project is funded by CDC Reach Core, which is a project out of the Centers for Disease Control, which was really interested in promoting policy systems change and environmental interventions around a variety of issues. And we came to this project with an air quality focus. So of course, no conflicts of interest. This is truly a collaborative project. This built out of a community-based participatory research project that we had before this that involved community-based organizations in East Los Angeles. Isela Gracian was the lead person there, but involved a number of their staff. Involved several community-based organizations in the Long Beach area, and included the health departments in both Los Angeles and Long Beach, which have separate health departments. It included the Asthma Coalition of Los Angeles. So these are just the lead people, and behind each of these people stood staffs and a number of other folks. So this is truly a collaborative project, and I want to acknowledge the two key people on the project who actually made it happen, who are hiding in the back of the room, Peggy Toy and Jasmine Zane, who are alphabetically listed. That would make Jasmine the senior author of this paper. And actually, she is. Okay. A little bit of the project background. Turning Data into Action, which is what we call the project, is a community-based partnership. And we brought together not just the agencies that I mentioned. The agencies I mentioned before were sort of the core group, but we also had participation of air quality management agencies, both at the local and state level, education and housing agencies, other types of asthma coalitions, heart disease, birth weight, and so forth. So we were really trying to develop a broad coalition of people who are interested in these issues. The aim of the project was to protect health from the disproportionate exposure to air pollution in Boyle Heights, which is in Los Angeles and Long Beach, through community engagement, local health systems, and public policy. And the health impact focus was actually determined by CDC. They had a priority list, and the ones relevant to air quality were asthma, cardiovascular disease, and low birth weight. I'll talk a little bit about this in a minute, but usually when you talk about air quality, the people who come to the table are the asthma coalition folks and people really interested in children. So by expanding to cardiovascular disease, sort of opened up the discussion of air quality to include the aging community, which is why I'm here today. Okay, so these two communities, here are maps, just to give you a sense of the physical layout of the communities. Boyle Heights tends to be towards the center of Los Angeles. Its defining characteristic is it's surrounded by five major freeways. So it really, the definition of the community is the freeways. And it has a lot of warehouses. So there's a lot of truck traffic that comes onto the city streets, as well as some rail yards, which are off to the western side of Boyle Heights. Long Beach is one of the largest ports in the country. It, combined with the Los Angeles port, which is just to the north, account for about 40% of all imports to the United States. It goes through this little tiny funnel. And that's because of the major trade that we have with Asia. These are both communities with large Latino populations. In addition, Long Beach is also characterized by a significant African-American population. And unusually, a Cambodian population, which still is largely non-English speaking. So they're very ethnically diverse communities. They have very high exposure to truck traffic, car traffic, and particularly in Long Beach, a lot of diesel from the ports, both the ships themselves as well as the ground operations in the ports. So as I mentioned, we're expanding traditional air quality coalitions beyond the asthma area, and really bringing in heart disease and aging, and bringing them together with child and youth stakeholders. So we're doing an intergenerational project. Of course, we mentioned that children are usually brought into these coalitions because of the issues of asthma. But what's not as well known is that older adults are vulnerable to cardiovascular disease. because of the particles that come particularly from diesel combustion. So in the course of this two-year project, we involved 470 stakeholders in a variety of activities, including the Mobilizing for Action Through Planning and Partnerships, which is a mouthful, but CDC has adopted that particular planning methodology as an evidence-based methodology where the planning process itself ends up helping to form coalitions and prepare the communities for action in the policy arena. And so there are four assessments, which I will show you in a few minutes, that we conducted, and that involved those four assessments and the convenings and all of this activity. Oops. I'm a little excited here. Involved the 470 community members and key stakeholders. Okay, I mentioned that the focus primarily was on the goods movement, and that's because of particulate matter. So when people think about pollution, you often think about ozone or nitrous oxide or things that you can see or smell. Particulate matter is particularly insidious because you really don't see it. It's a mixture of liquid droplets and very, very small particles of soil, dust, chemicals, and so forth that are emitted, as I said, primarily from diesel combustion. In the field, we talk about three different sizes or types. There's coarse particles, which are from things like tire debris, dusty industries. Fine particles are PM 2.5. PM is particulate matter, which are smaller, and then ultrafine, which are smaller yet. And just to give you a sense, this is all, it's very abstract, especially when you're working with community groups about what is a fine particle, ultrafine particle. So on the left, you have a piece of hair. If you want to, you know, look at the person, don't touch them. But if you want the person behind you, just imagine a single strand of hair. The large dot on the left of that hair is PM10. That's the core. That's coarse, right? So it's like a fraction of the size of a hair is coarse. PM2.5 is a little dot next to it. And then the graphic to the right, you have within the PM10, the PM2.5, and that little tiny point is the ultrafine particle. And there's a lot of research associating both PM10 and PM2.5 with health hazards, and so those actually have regulatory standards. The data on ultrafine is just emerging, but it's as frightening, if not more so, than the 2.5 and 10. But the ultrafine doesn't yet have national standards. And for sake of time, I won't go into grave details, but let's just say that breathing a lot of this is not good for you. It does, and you can think about how small, like especially the ultrafine, right? So you've got a piece of hair, and you've got the coarse, and then the fine, and then the ultrafine. So what happens is it comes into the lungs. The lungs actually then inject the ultrafine and the PM2.5 particles into your bloodstream. And there is good evidence now that especially the ultrafine, then enters cells and disrupts a lot of the cellular mechanisms, which is how you end up with things like air pollution causing heart disease. There's some association. It crosses the blood-brain barrier, the ultrafine. There's some association with some cognitive issues, and a whole host of unpleasant health outcomes. So when we're talking about looking at a public health approach, looking at the conditions under which people live, the air that you breathe is clearly one of those conditions, and improving the quality of the air then becomes an important public health issue. So this particular presentation presents data on two of the Mobilizing for Action Through Planning and Partnership assessments. There are actually four. The two that we're not going to present today, although we can answer questions on them, are the Community Strengths and Assessments, which actually looks at themes of what are of interest to the community, issues around quality of life, community assets, so a strengths perspective. We'll be talking about the Community Health Status Assessment, which is a general overview of health status in the communities. Local Public Health Systems Assessment. This particular one, this is all CDC language. It actually is very confusing because people thought about public health. When you think about public health, what do you think of? Local health department. But they were really talking about everything that affects public health. So calling it a public health assessment, when you're inside a health department, you think public health broad. When you're outside a health department, you think health department. But we were talking about schools, businesses, everything that had an impact on the health of the public. So that was a very broad assessment. And then that all helped us focus down into a forces of change assessment, which the goal of the MAP process is to come up with an action plan for how to change policy systems and environments to improve health. So what did we find? We found that being surrounded by freeways, the air quality in Boyle Heights is not very good. This shows you the national standard, the red bar on the bottom, and then data from monitoring stations near Boyle Heights. Now, one of the issues that came up as we were working with these communities is that the local air quality monitoring system places air quality monitors in particular locations. But in the case of Boyle Heights, they weren't exactly in the most sensitive areas in that city. So these are proxies for what residents in Boyle Heights actually experience. And we're pulling a proposal together now that actually will use new technology to provide little tiny monitors that people can put on their windowsills so that you actually get real-time exposure data and not a large box that's set up behind a school somewhere 3 miles away. But anyway, that said, what you do see is a fairly consistent exceeding of national standards in the areas near Boyle Heights, the three places being North Main Street in Los Angeles, Pico Rivera, and Compton. So those are surrounding areas. That's PM 2.5. PM 10 is worse than the state standard, although better than the national standard. So California does lead the country in a lot of air quality issues. So as you're sitting here, you can rest assured that you're breathing better air than any other city that we'd be. Not necessarily. Anyway, the standards are better than other cities around the country. And actually, San Francisco has really good air because of the flow off the ocean. So if we were in LA, that would be different. Long Beach similarly exceeds national standards, although it's been getting better in PM 2.5. And actually what's interesting here is that there has been a lot of effort around the ports over the last 10 to 15 years. There's a number of organizations and initiatives throughout the LA area, including the Impact Project, which is led by our friends at USC. There's a local community organization in Long Beach called LABACA, which does a lot of local advocacy around air quality. And a number of other, the unions are involved. And so in Long Beach, they've moved the large ships from burning diesel bunker fuel, which is the worst, to plugging in. So there's less diesel fuel coming up. And trying to move to cleaner trucks to move the goods out. So there's been a slight improvement, but it still exceeds national standards. As in PM10 is also at or above state standards. So once again, remember, these are like one or two monitoring stations. This is not necessarily the house that's next to the freeway or the school that's next to the rail yard. And then you see that that ends up with higher numbers of heart disease mortality. The yellow is the ones where it exceeds the state average. These are age adjusted, and the highest rates are in the areas closest to the freeways and the high concentration of air quality hazard areas. And then so that's hospitalization rates. And this is death rates. Long Beach is above the state. We didn't have data for just Boyle Heights. The larger planning area in Los Angeles is actually below the state average, and that is probably because it's a mostly Latino area. So this includes areas both close to and far away from the freeways. Latinos have lower heart disease mortality rates in general, especially immigrants, which is heavy in that area. So looking at different results. So all of this, that sort of concludes the health assessment. What this did is this exercise really did help raise awareness of issues of cardiovascular disease with the partners that we were working with. And in East LA, we were working with a housing corporation, which really hadn't done a lot of health work before. Their residents were saying they were interested in health. And so looking at the disease patterns, talking about some of these risks, really brought that to fore and raised awareness. We also then looked at what people said about the health system, and independent of air quality issues, as well as air quality related. We talked to 200 people. And what came up was a clear sense that both there was not enough regulatory emphasis in this area, even though California is a leader in this area. And I think even more important that there was a concern that they weren't monitoring in the right places. So while we have data on air quality in different spots in Los Angeles, they're not the spots that the community residents necessarily are concerned with. So we'll skip forward because we're down to like 30 seconds. So in conclusion, Boyle Heights and Long Beach residents, especially after you talk with them and you show them the data and you engage them in the community process, become very concerned with the air quality, and they may not see the air, right? You don't see the PM2.5 and the ultrafine, but you do see the trucks. You see the diesel engines pulling trains past your kids' school, and they do have a very heightened awareness of this. The disease rates are above state average, and so it does raise a concern around the health of the communities, and it really demonstrates the need for air quality education, because there are other issues in these low-income communities. And when you provide the education, when you engage them in the issues, they are interested in getting involved in the policy process and helping protect both their children and their elders from the hazards of air quality. We have a community action plan that came out of this, which will be up on our website. November? Within the next 30 days. It's drafted. It's in the final revision. And I want to thank you. And there's our website.